murderers decoding the crime verse.
911, what's your emergency? Welcome to Decoding the Crime Verse. I am Danny, and so I have some news. For the next 2 weeks, Nolene is not here, but I have a replacement.
Heck yeah.
All the way from Australia,
yes, an international
replacement, if I must say. And she's actually been on the show twice. If you haven't listened to them, I don't remember their names, but go find them. But she has been on our show twice, and we are happy to have her here for the next 2 weeks. She's visiting.
No, I flew in just for this.
Oh, sorry, I got it wrong. She flew in just because I needed another co-host, guys. Do you see how important this show is?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Right. So, for those who don't know, this is AZ.
Hello, sir.
Yes.
And sorry.
Okay, so today we're dealing with the Boston Strangler. Now, he is a more of a well-known serial killer, so you might have heard of him. But he gained his name from killing 13 women in Boston, Massachusetts. And today we're going to look at the evidence, facts, details surrounding the infamous case. It's not a great case. He's a bit of a psychopath.
He sounds scary, man.
Which serial killer isn't scary?
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah, we recently did Jeffrey Dahmer, and that one,
freaked
me out beyond.
Ew, didn't he, like, eat his people?
Yeah, that's why he was called the Milwaukee Cannibal.
Oh, okay, anyway, let's not talk about him. He grosses me out.
So, between June 1962 and January 1964, a series of grisly murders took place in Boston. All the victims were female, and all had been strangled. The Boston slayings were blamed on one lone sociopath whose mystery still around the case. So we actually the case is still open. They haven't actually given a definitive was the killer.
When was it again, sorry?
62.
So this person could be an old man in an old age home.
Same thing. We said this with the Zodiac. The Zodiac could be
in a random old age home. Imagine you go to visit your grandpa and be like, oh, hello.
And it's the Zodiac.
Next minute, you're strangled.
So what makes these particular murders stand out was the gruesomeness.
Yes.
And how many of the victims were actually elderly?
In the old age home, he has lots of old people available, man.
So, guys, if you're in an old age home, just watch out.
Just be careful.
So the combination of old age loneliness and vulnerability added to the brutality and tragedy of the events. Because poor little old grannies, how can you kill them? That's so rude.
I agree.
So the first victim was Anna... Guys, you know me and names, so if it's wrong, it's wrong. Silsers. Who was a seamstress.
Oh, well, I relate to that.
Yeah,
please.
But AZ is good with sewing, and she was also a devout churchgoer.
Oh, okay, I relate to that too. So please don't kill me!
I think you're a bit in trouble, yeah.
Oh, no.
And she was murdered on the evening of June 14th, 1962. She lived on her own, and her son came to pick her up for a memorial service.
Oh, no.
When he discovered her body in the bathroom with a cord around her neck tied in a bow. And the son actually had assumed it was suicide.
Bro, excuse me. If she's dead, she's not tying a bow around her neck.
That's actually so true.
That's really stupid.
Actually, I didn't even think about that.
Suicide.
Very true. Okay. Homicide detectives found her in a state. She was nude and had been stripped of her dignity. She had been sexually assaulted. So not are we not killing old people. We're now sexually assaulting old people.
Shane, what did they do to you?
No, what did they do to you? Okay, and the apartment looked like it had been ransacked, but like her jewels and stuff were still there. So they first believed that it was a botched robbery. Three weeks later, on June 23rd, 8th, 1962, 85-year-old Mary Mullen was also found murdered in her home, and 2 days later the body of 68-year-old Nina Nichols was discovered also dead, and it again looked like robberies gone wrong. And now people are starting to be like,
I was gonna say, surely they see a pattern here.
Nichols was also found undressed with her legs wide open and her stockings had been tied in a bow around her neck.
Man.
Then on the same day, a second body was discovered a few miles north and her name was Helen Blake. She was 65 years old. She was a divorcee, and this murder was more gruesome. She had suffered lacerations to her private parts, and again had the bow tied around her neck, but this time they'd used her bra to strangle her. Yeah.
Ah, disgusting.
Like the previous crimes, it seemed to have been a burglary. After this, they realized, okay, there's a serial killer.
Please.
I think you should have figured that out at number two. But anyway.
I agree.
And they actually had to call in a huge...
Team.
Thank you.
Task force.
And they actually sent out a warning via media to all of Boston's female population, being like, nobody
Watch
is
out.
Safe. Don't talk to strangers and lock your doors.
Yes. Good idea.
And why we weren't locking our doors in the first place
exactly.
is the question. But police profiling had already decided that they were probably looking at a psychopath who had a hatred for older women and may be linked, and this might be linked to his relationship with his own mother, which makes
probably.
Sense. It wasn't long when the fourth murder happened on August 19th. This victim was a 75-year-old widow in Ida. Ida Urga.
I thought you said Ida Burger. I'm like, what?
I had a burger. She had been strangled, and she was on her back on the floor wearing a brown nightdress, which had been ripped open and exposed to her body. Her legs were apart and resting on two chairs, and a cushion had been placed under her bum. And, yeah.
I'm sorry, but what burglar is going to do that?
Less than 24 hours later, the body of Jane Sullivan was found not far from the previous victim. She was a 65-year-old nurse who had been murdered a week before. So she'd been killed before, and they had only then found her body. And she again had been strangled with her stockings. Terror spread throughout Boston, as obviously the city now feared another attack. But it was actually months before the strangler struck again, and this time his victim was young.
Oh, so he changed it up.
No, yeah, exactly. Which makes it even more scary, because now I could have been like, guys, I'm not 60, I'm safe.
Exactly.
Now you're not safe. What are you going to do? So the 21-year-old Sophie Clark was an African-American student, and her body was found on December 5th, 1962, a few blocks away from the first victim. She was found naked and sexually assaulted, and we had been strangled by her own stockings. However, they found DNA this time.
We have
a lead, but we got no one to match it to, so because this is the 60s. Although... Clark did not fit the profile of the other victims, they kind of were like, it must be the same person.
Yeah.
Right. 3 weeks later, another young woman's life ended tragically, and it was a 23-year-old Patricia Bissett, and she was pregnant, and she was found dead in her apartment, and when she was discovered by her boss because she hadn't shown up for work. Her body lay on her bed covered by sheets, and she'd been sexually assaulted and strangled by her own stockings. What is with the stockings? While the city appeared to have been... bed for another attack for several months, the police were frantic. Because you can imagine, this guy is roaming the streets, and every sex offender in Boston was brought in and interviewed and checked, but nothing turned up. Before long, a series of murders started up again. My thing was, it would be like one, two, like literally days apart. Like, that's
freaky.
This
dude's busy. That's all I'm saying.
This time, the body of 68-year-old Marie Brown was found strangled and raped. In March 1963. 2 months later, the ninth victim, Beverly Sammons, was found, and she was a 23-year-old graduate. So now it's very much not old people anymore. It's definitely old people and young people.
Yeah.
She was found with her hands tied behind her back with one of her scarves, nylon stockings, and two handkerchiefs had been tied around her neck. Bizarrely, a piece of cloth had been folded and placed, stuffed in her mouth.
What?
There was also four stab wounds on her neck, and she was most likely killed by that rather than strangulations. And the reason they thought that this had happened, because they'd also found he'd carved a bullseye on her right breast. But they thought the reason he'd stabbed the neck and not just strangled her was because she had very strong throat muscles from singing.
That is so random.
So then he couldn't... no matter how much he tried to strangle, it wasn't working.
Oh, I see what
so
you're saying.
So he resulted to stabbing.
I was like, wait, what? That makes no sense to me.
The police were now desperate and even sought out the help of a clairvoyant. I think it's like a... people who see the future.
Oh, okay then. Sure, man.
Who described the killer as a mental patient who had escaped Boston State Hospital.
Okay, then.
Only on the days that the killings took place. So the killer was going back and forth from the hospital.
Sure, because that makes sense. Definitely.
But this was discounted. People were like, absolutely not. But then the next murder happened on September 8th, 1963, and her name was Evelyn Corbin, and she was a 58-year-old divorcee. Corbin again was found naked and on a bed face up. Her underwear had been stuffed into her mouth.
Why?
And again, there was traces of DNA. Corbin's apartment had been ransacked, again in a similar fashion. On November 25th, Joanne Graf was 23, and she was an industrial designer, was raped and killed in her apartment. On January 4th, 1964, one of the most gruesome murders was discovered when two women came across the body of their roommate, Mary Sullivan, who was found dead, sitting on her bed with her back against the headboard. She had been strangled with a dark stocking. She had been sexually assaulted with a broom handle.
Heck no. Yes. No, thank you.
And then there was a Happy New Year card lying between her feet.
That is just very weird.
Again, the apartment had been ransacked and she'd been strangled with her own underwear and scarves and stuff like that.
Right.
The Boston Strangler had been held accountable for 11 of 13 murders of the female victims. No one has actually ever been tied to them, though. And except we had someone who confessed to them.
Right.
But he was never actually said to be the Boston Strangler.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So his name is... And I didn't write his first name. That's so
brilliant. Oh, good job. Good job.
Albert DeSalvo.
Oh, okay.
Sorry, I don't know why I didn't put it... Albert, it is here. I'm so dumb. I didn't even read it.
I think you need to go to Specsavers and buy some glasses.
So, he confessed to the 13 official strangler murders. However, there has been doubt on his claims.
Okay.
So, the investigation, trial, and death. So, obviously, with the city in panic, the situation prompted, like I said, lots of law enforcement. And it actually included assigning a permanent staff just to this case.
Wow.
Which means that's a big thing.
Yeah, well, that's a big deal,
man. Police profiling went on, and they discovered they believed he was around 30, neat, orderly, worked with his hands, and most likely a loner, maybe divorced or separated.
Yes.
In fact, the killer ended up being found by chance, not by the work of the police force. And this was good when DeSalvo had actually ended up in prison. For some crimes, he had broken into a woman's apartment and tied her up in bed and held a knife to her throat before sexually assaulting her and then running away. The victim gave the police a good description and it matched DeSalvo, and then he was arrested. It was after he had been picked out from a lineup that he admitted to robbing hundreds of apartments and carrying out a couple of rapes. He then confessed to being the Boston Strangler.
Oh, okay.
Despite the police not believing him at the time, DeSalvo was sent to Bridgewater State Hospital to be assessed by a psychiatrist.
Good.
When DeSalvo's wife was told by the police that her husband had confessed, she was like, no, it's not him.
Yeah.
During his time at the hospital, he struck up a friendship with another inmate who was intelligent but highly dangerous killer called George Nassar. Mm-hmm. And the two apparently had worked out this deal to split the reward money that they would go to anyone who supplied information on the identity of the strangler.
What?
DeSalvo had accepted that he would be in prison for the rest of his life and wanted his family to be financially secure. So the theory goes that he'd committed so many robberies and rapes and stuff, he was going to prison.
Yeah.
But he thought, let's make some money off it so at least my family and stuff are okay. DeSalvo was interviewed to discover that discover if he really was the notorious killer. The attorney was shocked to hear how much detail, however, he described the furniture of the apartment, everything. After many hours of questioning and going into minute detail of what the victims wore and everything, the police were convinced they had their killer.
Yeah.
One disturbing revelation was De Silva described he aborted an attack on a Danish girl when he was strangling her and caught sight of himself in a mirror. Horrified by the ghastly vision of himself, he released her, begged her not to tell the police, and ran away.
Okay, then. Yeah, no. That's a bit random.
De Silva was incarcerated into MICC De Junction Prison, and in November 1973, he got word to his doctor that he needed to see him urgently. De Silva had something important to say about the Boston Strangler murders, but that night, he was found stabbed to death in his cell.
Oh, that's a conspiracy.
A conspiracy. Because of the level of security in the prison, it was assumed that the killing was had been planned with the degree of cooperation between employees and prisoners.
Absolutely.
Whatever the case, though, there were no more murders by the strangler after De Silva was arrested. So the case was never closed.
Yeah.
Because they never actually could prove it was him. And so even though he had these confessions, there were some doubts and stuff. Yeah. And it just, then he was dead. And yeah. In 2001, his body was exhumed for DNA tests and taken and compared to evidence, because obviously DNA was
Was that not done before?
Because it was the 60s.
Okay, then.
There was no match. But that only proved that he hadn't sexually assaulted Sullivan. It didn't rule out his involvement in the murder.
Yeah.
What if he had a partner? That's why... You get what I'm going here?
Yes. Maybe he did the strangling part, and then the partner was a bit more cuckoo.
But then, if the partner was someone high up, it would explain why he would have been killed before the night before he was going to reveal information. Yes. You get what I'm saying? Guys, I have a conspiracy right here. Of course we do. It's decoding the crime verse. In July 2013, they exhumed the body again for forensic testing.
Man.
Speculating that the new analysis could finally prove, provide concrete, concrete proof of the Boston Strangler's identity. The family of De Silva and the nephew of Mary Sullivan, who was the last victim, continued to believe in De Silva's innocence of the 13 murders to which he confessed. And they remain convinced that the killer is still alive. Yeah.
But then why wasn't the killer killing anymore?
I like this partner theory, right? Yes. Now you've lost your partner.
And then you're not just going to find some random new partner.
You've lost the person who was doing the actual killing. Because if you were just doing the sexually assaulting, maybe you don't have the guts to do the actual killing. Yeah. But then you're more likely to get caught as a sexual assaulter.
Yeah, that's true.
Assaulters?
I don't know.
One of them. If they people stay alive. You get what I'm saying?
Yes.
So, just some background on Albert. He was born on the 3rd of September 1931 in Chelsea, Massachusetts. And he was well but 29-year-old with a history of breaking and entering. And he had spent time in prison. Del Salvo had a tough upbringing. He had been brought up with four siblings. And his father was a wife-beating alcoholic. The boy became a delinquent and spent time in and out of prison for petty crime and violence. Years after he had been discharged from the army for disobeying orders, he settled down and married Irmgard Beck, a girl from Germany. They lived modestly, and despite Irmgard giving birth to a handicapped child, the family managed to sustain itself. She was aware that De Silva had highly sexed and tried to avoid intercourse for fear of having another handicapped baby. However, a healthy boy was born, and De Silva appeared to become a good family man, liked and appreciated by colleagues and his boss. He was also known to be an outrageous bragger, which led the police to believe why he had claimed to be the strangler. I don't know. I like our two people theory.
I think it makes more sense. You know what my theory is?
Yes.
I think this man, what was his name? Albert. He goes in. Okay, this is the scene. This is the room.
Guys,
this is the door.
Listen closely.
Okay. There's the two of them.
Yeah.
Break down the door, but silently. I don't know how he did that, but anyway.
They pick the lock.
Exactly. They go in. There's a woman there. She's like, ah, scary. Then this Albert dude, this is him, strangles her. Then he Wait, no, no, no. He's still strangling her. Keep this 5 minutes. I don't know how long it takes to strangle someone. I don't care. Anyway.
I don't think that long, but anyway.
I don't know. But they're like in the bathroom.
Yes, yes.
And then this other partner, I'm going to name him Frank.
Frank is
just so outraged that, that killing's going on. He just can't watch. So that's why he's ransacked the place. Ooh.
Oh, I understand.
And then Albert comes back and he's like, what have you done? But then doesn't do anything about it because, you know, Frank has to ransack it to be okay with then going and doing his naughty things. And then he ties the boat and then they go, run away.
So Frank and Albert are the Boston Stranglers.
Exactly.
That is our conclusion. Who Frank is, we don't know. He could be very much alive. But it would explain if he had a partner... And he was doing the killing, and then he went to jail while the partner wasn't. Because often you have, in these dynamics, someone who's more dominant and someone who's more...
Yes, exactly.
So, I mean, and if you're not used to killing someone, now could imagine then you're not going to now just start.
Yeah.
Which would make sense when the killing stopped.
Yeah, because the killer, the one who killed, is now...
I mean, Frank could have carried on sexually assaulting people. It would have just been put as sexual assault.
but maybe he got caught and he was also in the same prison. And then he was like, in Albert's wherever.
Oh, damn. So he killed Albert because Albert was going to snitch on him because he ended up in the same prison. I love it. I love it. Yes, of course. We love to see it.
Yeah.
So, guys, we have decided it's not the Boston Strangler, it's the Boston Stranglers.
Called Frank and Albert.
Frank and Albert. If any of you know a Frank who's 18 in prison, just beware.
Stay away.
It makes sense. I like it.
I'm thinking smart.
Yeah, maybe you should go work for the Boston Police
Force. Nah, man. I'm okay. I think it's because I watched too much Prison Break, so then I'm thinking... What happens in a prison?
Oh, I love those type of shows. Solid shows. Yeah. So that was the Boston Strangler. I feel it's very weird to... How do you actually strangle someone with stockings, though? Stockings are very, like...
They're, like, thin, flimsy. Man. Yeah, I don't know. I don't need to think about how you would do that.
And I think the bow is a very creepy touch. Like, I'm sorry, you've got some psychopath brainwaves
Something wrong with your brain.
Because that's, like...
That's just a bit much.
When serial killers have a calling card, it's always a bit like you want people to know this was you. Like it's
exactly. Yuck. Yeah.
So yes, but that is all for next week. We are very grateful that AZ will be joining us again next week. Yeah. So please join again. But from now until next time, goodbye.
Turn up the volume. The volume.
This is Radio On Demand. What you want, when you want it. It's active.
Subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts and YouTube.